Does privacy have its place? Many people ask me, when you say I have to be so open with my spouse, aren't you taking away all my privacy? If by privacy that person means keeping part of himself or herself hidden, I hold firm to my conviction that this word has no place between a husband and wife. Many, colleagues and clients alike, disagree, but I have seen too many marital disasters follow the compromise of my principle. Although you may find it threatening to think your spouse might have the right to read your mail or go through your purse, I believe this kind of openness is indispensable for a healthy marriage. Let me show you how it might work. When I protect my privacy, it makes me less transparent to my wife. Joyce is the one person who needs to know me best, and I need to provide her with all the information, including the warts. Not only must I answer her questions truthfully, but I must avoid lies of silence and readily volunteer information as well. In other words, I must share myself with her in every way possible. Over the years, Joyce and I have worked out a little signal that we give each other when we feel the need for total honesty. We sometimes like to tease, but situations come up when we need to know exactly where the other is at. When we have this need, we simply say, "On your word?" Whenever I hear Joyce use that phrase, I know she wants transparent honesty, not game playing or evasions. Every married couple needs to work out a similar signal. Without the assurance that a spouse is on his or her word, a marriage limps along and eventually staggers right into trouble. As I counsel couples with troubled marriages, I seldom find that they have been totally honest with each other. For this reason, I usually see the husband and wife separately, especially at first. A spouse is far more apt to be honest with me when we are alone in the counseling room for at least two reasons. One, he or she feels an internal pressure to let the truth out to someone. And two, they are paying for the time with me and want me to understand the problem as quickly as possible. As each spouse comes clean with me, I often get a clearer picture of both of them than they have of each other. For years, they have wandered around blindly in the smokescreen each has laid down for the other. When they talk to me, they have no need for a smokescreen, and the real problem or issue starts to emerge. All of us have our problems. One very valuable tool I use to get a clear picture of people is S.R. Hathaway and J.C. McKinley's Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, MMPI, published by the University of Minnesota, a standard personality test psychologists have used for many years. The MMPI has an assortment of scales that help identify personal predispositions towards certain traits. Scoring high in any of these scales doesn't prove you have a problem, but it suggests that you may. The psychologist needs further evidence to support or refute the existence of a problem. For example, a person who scores high on the 1 scale is likely to be something of a hypochondriac. I am high on the 1 scale myself, but you probably wouldn't detect my hypochondriacal tendencies if you saw me only when I felt relaxed. When I am under pressure, my hypochondria starts to show, because then I complain and carry on about my health more than many people would in similar circumstances. Joyce likes to remind me how I panic whenever I think I'm sick or when I experience emotional pressure. She's right. Normally I do fine, but under pressure, my problem comes out. The significance of this pressure principle for marriages is obvious. A quick sketch of key traits revealed by the MMPI scales, 0 through 9, includes the following. 0, measures the tendency to be socially introverted, to avoid crowds, shyness. 1, measures degree of concern about one's health and fear of death, debilitating disease, or that minor symptoms could turn into debilitating disease. 2, measures depression, a feeling of hopelessness, a tendency to be pessimistic. 3, measures suppression of feelings, the tendency to not be honest with yourself and others about why you feel the way you do. 4, measures social alienation, the tendency to have problems with authority and failure to consider others when meeting personal needs. 5, measures masculinity and femininity, sensitivity to the needs of others and willingness to care. 6, measures sensitivity in close relationships, the tendency to idealize others or prejudicial beliefs, both good and bad, about people. 7, measures anxiety or fear, the tendency to be indecisive, perfectionistic, or guilt-ridden. 8, measures dissatisfaction with yourself, the tendency to be confused and undependable under stress. 9, measures activity or energy level, reveals the tendency to be impulsive and over-involved in too many things.